as our teens and children go, give me a moment to recalibrate. Where do I begin? I want to begin by saying thank you. Thank you for all of your prayers for Kathy and I and the family. Thank you, Pastor Nick, this morning. I don't know how people make it without one another. I don't know how I could possibly make it without the body of Christ. I've known that for years, and every now and then I'm given a blunt reminder of his goodness through his people, and that has been the case in these last couple of weeks. It is good to be home, and it's good to be back together with you. Thank you, Sue Herman, for doing what you've done today and your kind words. And interestingly enough, without any discussion between Sue and myself, I want to speak to you today about being real. If we're real with one another, we can admit that sometimes that we come into places of doubt. It's just very real. Yeah. There are no supermen or superwomen. We are real people, and if we're honest with one another, that comes out over time. You know, we kind of are able to bear that with those who are the closest with us, and there's just times when we go through times of doubt, where we kind of struggle. We kind of need one another's help, and we should never be ashamed to ask for it. We should never feel out of place to admit that we just don't have it together at that moment, that we're tired or exhausted or we're just dragging. I don't know about you, but when I get into those places, there are sometimes I just feel like I shouldn't be around anybody. I said to someone this morning, I feel like I'm walking on a terrain of thin ice, you know, where at any moment you could possibly fall through, you know, because the word that you said or the action that you displayed at that moment would kind of beset somebody. There's a certain transparency that takes place within being with one another. And the Bible is amazing when we look at it because it enables us to go into the lives of people and see their lives in a way that removes the mask that so often we put on people. And I don't know if you do this, but I know at times I have, where I have taken an image of what I have thought about a person and I have placed it on them like a mask. But at some point, if we spend enough time with one another, the mask comes off. It's just natural. We get to see who we truly are. And then the question is, can we accept one another as we are? Can we love them? Can we walk with them? Can we travel with them? Can we see God in their lives at work, regardless of what they're going through? And I think that answer is yes. And this morning, I want to take a look at someone who is quite transparent when we look back at the scriptures, someone that I think many people would love to put a mask on, but so often when we go and look at his life, the mask is off, and that person is David. And this morning, I want to go to you in a place where we find where David's doubts comes out to the surface of his life. Well, look at this morning with you from 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1. Let's look at that together. It says this, "Then David said in his heart, 'Now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand.'" Interesting that this would be said by someone like David. You see, at this moment, I believe David is having a weak moment. I shall perish. I shall perish. It's incredible when you think about the life of David, but let's take a step back and kind of look at this man's life, because on the surface, this man had every reason to feel the way he did at this moment. Jealous King Saul constantly and relentlessly was pursuing him. And it started way back when David first came under his care and his service. He became jealous of David because David was sung about in a way he wasn't. They said, they praised David, you know, they praised Saul. He said, "Oh, Saul, he who has conquered thousands, and David tens of thousands." And this produced a jealousy within Saul to the point where he tried taking David's life. We look at 1 Samuel 18:11 this morning. It says this, "And Saul hurled a spear," took a spear and hurled it, "for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David evaded him, not once, but twice." Twice. From that point forward, Saul continually and relentlessly pursued David to take his life. At one point, as he pursued David, his son Jonathan, who was like David's BFF, I mean, he got up in his father's face and he said, "Listen, this is a good man. This is a good man." And he talked his father off the ledge. Another time when Saul was pursuing him, Philistines had interrupted his pursuit. He was that close from getting David, and then the report came, the Philistines are attacking. And so he had to drop David and go and take care of the Philistines. And at one time, David and his men, as they were trying to escape Saul, found themselves in a cave, in the back of a cave. And who came into the cave but Saul? I don't know about, you know, you've gone to different parks or different places where they have the portable bathrooms outside. They never had such a thing back in those days, right? So Saul went into the cave to do what he had to do. And David was there. And David had every opportunity to take his life, but instead he clipped a piece of his garment. And after Saul exited, he came out and he said, "Do I mean to do you any harm? See, because you were there and I was there too. But I did not do you any harm. But here, to prove that I was there with you, here's a piece of your garment." At every turn, David had to flee and run, and life wasn't easy for him. And all those times, David would appear strong, you know, the man that we all see him to be. But this morning, when we read that verse, we realize that David was having a time, kind of came to the end of himself. Have you ever been there? Where you come to the end of yourself? Where you know that you're out of gas. You need help. Now, on the other hand, David really had no reason to doubt, even though he was in that place. But sometimes we fall into those places where there are shadows that fall and we find ourselves in a dark place. You see? And so David, if he were able to look back over his life, he would have realized at that moment all the things that God had done for him. But I believe he was at a time where he kind of lost sight of that. And at times we lose sight and we begin to doubt, is God able to help me at this time? Can he carry me through this time? Can he see me through? You see, because he was still the same God that was with David when he was a shepherd, when David went up against the bear or the lion in the fields as he tended the flock. He was the same God that stood with David when he went out to meet Goliath on the battlefield and gave him victory against the giant. He's still the same God. And he was the God that came to David through Samuel and had him anointed. This is the same God. But we find David in a place today saying, there is nothing better for me. Nothing better for me. I wonder if we were there, what we would think of David at that moment. What has happened to this man? Where is he at? How could he have gotten to this place? But it's a very real place. I want to say to you this morning that the best relationships I have had with people are ones that are real. Where there can be an open dialogue, where there can be honesty, where when we're not at our best, we say we're not at our best. When we're struggling, we can say, I'm really struggling. And I would think that David is in this place that he is struggling. But God is still the same God that could be there for him moment to moment. The same God who pursued him when he didn't have a clue. The same God that said, you will be the next king. Look at 1 Samuel 16:13 with me. Then Samuel, the prophet who came to David, took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And listen to this. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. David had God's presence with him from that day forward. And yet, he found himself in this precarious position. And we might say, how could he be, if the Spirit of God is with him, how could he be struggling like this? But it happens. Think about your own life. I think about mine. God is never absent, but yet we can find ourselves in a place where we are struggling, where we have lost sight of him, where we have come to a place of doubt. But God is still real. And I want to say to you, and I think this would hold true for any of us. I don't know if you keep a prayer journal, or if you want to call it a diary, whatever you want to call it, when you write about your journeys in faith. But I want to tell you, if David had kept a diary, or if he could look over the shoulders of the chronicler of that day, the historian of Israel, he would see all the things. He would remember. He would go back and look at all the times that God came through to him. For who was with him in the field against the lion and the bear? Who was with him in the cave? Who was with him when he was stood up against Goliath? Who was with him when he went into battle and wrought a victory for the nation every time he went out to fight? It was the Lord. It was his God. If David looked for evidence to support that God was about to abandon him at this time of his life, causing him to have to run off to all people, the Philistines, he would have not found any evidence, none, to support his fears and his doubt. And I want to say to you, whether we keep a diary or a prayer journal or what, think back at your lives, your journey. Think back of how it started, where God took you from, and where you are today. God has done a good thing. And he has continued to do, and he will continue to do a good thing, regardless of what comes upon us. Charles Spurgeon said this, the God, the one who has been with you in six troubles, will be with you in the seventh. And may I add, in the eighth and the ninth, no matter how many you can accumulate, no matter what's coming down the road, what might hit you next, God is not absent. But if we should need to, at times we can take our doubt to him. We can take our fears to him. He'll come through. He will take the time to sit with us and to encourage us, to say, I have not left you. I am with you. Remember my promise to you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But don't worry about that. I'm with you. I'm with you. And I will not leave you. There is not one time in our lives when we can sit back and say, here or there is where God has abandoned you. If you can, if you think you can, I would love to sit down and talk with you. Because there have been times I have felt that way. Oh, man. But given the time to sit in his presence, I realized that God was there. God cared for me. That's how I'm able to stand here today. That's how I will be able to stand tomorrow. And so will you. There hasn't been a time where God's faithfulness and love and kindness hasn't come through. No matter what comes tomorrow, no matter what hits you. And God doesn't only have an escape plan for us, but he has one for us to prosper and to succeed and to complete the journey that he has placed us upon. And so this morning I want to share a few verses with you before we go. Ones that I believe will help us keep our sights on him, that will encourage us, that will help us not to lose sight. And I want to say to you, when there are times when we have kind of lost our focus, we need to go back to the Word of God. Amen. We need to go and seek him out. Now, I know it's a lot easier to pick up the phone and call someone because that person is a voice that you're going to hear very clear, or meet with someone because their physical presence can mean so much at that moment. And I don't discourage that. But there are times when God wants to get us alone, when he wants to speak to us, each of us, individually in a way that only he can. Because no one is to supplement who he is in our lives. And sometimes you might feel like, oh, I couldn't connect with so-and-so, or they didn't return my phone call or my text or whatever way I communicate with them. And at that moment, we should not despair. What is God trying to do at that moment? What is God wanting to say to us? What does he have to say to us? And this morning I want to share these verses with you because I believe that this is what God is saying to each of us when we go through our times. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. God is wanting to say to us, I know you're suffering. I sent my son to suffer. But it was all in looking forward to the glory that I would bring down and put on my people. The life that I would give them. The hope that I would instill on them. To say that there is more to this moment that you are suffering. That there is a day that is coming where this suffering is going to be done away with. And you will be in my presence and I will stand before you and you will know that everything that you stood for, everything that you hoped in was real. That it was real. And I'm going to reveal it to you in time. Stay the course. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God. And I want to stop here for a second. I want to ask you, do you love God? Do you really love God? You see, because if you do, all things, everything that comes across the door of your life, regardless of what it is, you don't have to like it, you don't have to approve of it, regardless of how horrible or horrifying it is, no matter how crippling it might be, God is going to take that evil, whatever it might be, and use it for good in your life and in mine. In this past week, I had a moment with Kathy, and we were talking about difficult relationships. You know, when someone passes away and you're a significant person in your life, things start shaking, you know? Said to Pastor John on Thursday, you know, I feel like, every kid, you get on a ride, and you get off that ride, and when you get off that ride, you're like this. That's the way it's been. And people get shook when someone they love and someone who's center in their lives gets taken. And so it can produce difficulties within relationships with one another. But the Holy Spirit reminded me of this, that true life and experiences and growth in relationship with one another growth doesn't really take place in the warm and fuzzy places. And I love them. Don't mind, you know what I'm saying? A hug, smile, hang out, laugh. I want to do that with you when we go downstairs later. Just spend time together, enjoy one another's company. But the real growth happens when this is taking place, in the times of friction. Because we have to work through it, and we get to learn and see each other at our weak moments, in our times of trouble. And if we stay and hang in long enough, we will see real growth take place, right? And then we'll know all things work together for good, for those who are called according to God's purpose. Because even when things don't go smooth in those significant relationships that you have, whether they be between you and your spouse, or between your child, or your grandchild, or whoever you're involved in this life, God is not absent. And all things work together for the good, according to his purpose. And then Romans 8, 31, 35, and 37 to 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then Paul goes on to kind of spell out all the things that can come against us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. No. I had a moment of levity as I was going through the scriptures this week. I don't know how many of you seen the movie with Tom Hanks. It's an old one, League of Their Own, about women in baseball. Anybody? Okay, good. Good. I'm not alone then. But I love the scene where the blonde right fielder keeps missing the cutoff. And she comes in off the field, and Hanks comes out, and Jimmy Dugan, right? He comes out and he goes, you know, he's like all torqued up, right? I don't understand why you can't hit the cutoff. Why, why you would throw to home instead of second? Because now you've kind of lost us the lead. And he got in her face in such a way she begins to cry. Are you crying? He says to her. Are you crying? There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. No, no, no. And I'm thinking, no, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. More than conquerors. I don't know what it means to be more than a conqueror. I mean, you've come out ahead. You're on top. But Paul seems to take it to a whole nother level. You're going to be more than a conqueror. For I am sure that neither death, okay? Neither death, and I want to say to you, we experienced that the last couple of weeks. Kathy and I were with Mom as she breathed her last breath. And as hard as that was, there was something incredibly amazing of being there at her bedside. Mom was on a BiPAP machine because no matter how much oxygen she could take in, she could not dispel the CO2. She didn't have the force in her lungs because of the COPD to expel it. So on the BiPAP machine she went, which forced oxygen in and pulled the CO2 out. And she was miserable, just miserable. And so it was determined that once she came off that machine, she'd have but a couple of hours. So we waited for family to come in. So I was with my two brother-in-laws, my sister-in-law, and my wife, along with a cousin from upstate and her aide. And we waited. At one point, she said to my sister-in-law, "I know there are people coming, but you think they could get here by now?" You know? I mean, she had come to the point where she had crossed over from the fear of the unknown to I'm ready kind of deal, right? And once the mask came off, she perked up. We sang my sister-in-law happy birthday because Mom passed on my sister-in-law's birthday. Yeah, and She was cheerful, she communicated, she was expressive. And there came a point when she just said to us, "I'm going." And I thought that was amazing. And we rallied around the bed. And within the next few minutes, we watched Mom. I think she saw heaven. I think that she was seeing something that none of us other than her could see. And it was amazing because neither death can separate us from life. In fact, death in this life is going to usher us right into His presence. And you could see that taking place in that room at that moment. It was amazing. So I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else. I mean anything, right? Anything else. In all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see? This is what God wants us to hold on to. You are mine, and nothing can separate you from me. So in your times of doubt, remember what I have done, how you have come to this place. All that you have is from my hands. The relationships that you enjoy are from me. The life that you enjoy, the people that you enjoy, everything you have around you, I have provided for you. And if I've given you this, what more can I give you? Oh, I have a lot more. When I see you, I will give it to you. Because in my Father's house, there are many rooms, and one of them's got your name on the door. You see, this is what we need to hold on, because in being real, we are going to fall through the ice sometimes, and we're going to need help getting pulled out. We're going to need each other. And God has given us to one another. And I want to say to you, the encouragement is mutual. It's reciprocal. Because no matter what you think you've given to me, I've given to you, you've given to me. You've given to my family. You've given to Kathy and I. Your cards, your text messages, your emails, your kindness, your smiles, your hugs. You have no idea what it has meant to us. Some of you came out to the wake on Friday. So grateful for all of you. Even if you've said nothing, I know your hearts. I know your love and your support. I don't have to be convinced of that. You don't have to say a word for me to know. See? It's in times of doubt we need one another. And we need to remind each other, listen, you don't have to go hang out with the Philistines, okay? Yeah. David, you don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. And I want to say to you, we don't have to go to that place. In the end, God's promise came through to David. Regardless of what he was feeling, the terror, the fear, whatever it was that he was feeling, the promises of God came through. And David was once again anointed by the elders of Israel to become their king. And so what for us? I want to say to you that the God who has saved you and keeps you will do so till the very end. And it's okay when you and I come to places where we doubt. Oh God, am I really saved? What about, God is saying, I have you. I have you. You belong to me. Lean on me. Depend on me. Especially in your times of doubt and worry and fear. It's all very real. And God is very real with us. And I pray that we would be able to continue in that same kind of relationship with one another. Because as you and I are real with one another, we can help each other along the way. And there's not a person in the sanctuary that couldn't use a little help, starting with me. I thank you, as always, for listening. And once again, it's good to be home. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to simply take a minute to exalt your name. Jesus, we bow before you. We are grateful that, Lord, even in our times of uncertainty, oh God, you are there. We turn our attention to you today. We lift our hearts to you once more. We depend on you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Stay with me, if you don't mind.
Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty in deed. Mighty in deed. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee.
Amen. Hang on to your faith. He's with you through it all, and nothing is too difficult for him. Amen. Have a great week. See you all downstairs for some refreshments.